I wanted a couple people to just real quickly answer two questions. And here's the thing, I gave them a minute. And so here's what happens. Jim, if they go over that minute, I don't know if you cut their mics off, and then I'll hit them upside the head. Because you could yell at me. So here's the two questions. Roger wants an extra minute. He's putting more money in the offer. Here's the questions, two questions, and I know they're loaded. I know they could spend probably 10, 15 minutes. I know they're nervous. But the question was, what has Jesus done in your life in the last 5 years? And how has Jesus used LCC in your life the last 5 years? And so just by virtue of where you're standing, Jerry, you're first. Are you mad? You came at the end for that reason?
What Jesus has done in my life in the past 5 years.
Watch out.
I come to realize that it's not about me and what I want, but it's about what Jesus is and what he wants through me. And I'm not saying I've learned it, but I'm saying I'm learning it because I still get in the way all the time. I like what John the Baptist said in John, that it's for him to increase and me to decrease. But like I said, I still get in the way with it all the time.
Jesus in the past 5 years for me has taught me about self-confidence, because I have none. I have none.
Step over here.
That's what happens when you're minutes up. Just three through that word.
There you go.
I have had someone in my life who's constantly told me I'm no good. And God put Jamie in my life about a year before I went to church for the first time. And I know that was his plan. He put Jamie there for a reason. And through LCC, I have found so much love through everybody that I have not known for a very long time. I'm so thankful for it. I know I have, I told Jamie at Christmas, I gave him a picture. And I said, thank you for making this a second home for me. And I know everybody here, I may not know you, but I know that I can count on you for anything. And I'm super thankful for that. So thank you.
I've been coming to LCC from the very beginning. My seven members of the family were part of the, 40 people here the very first weekend. And in the last 5 years, I brought my Bible up because my Bible was just full. Initially, I never wanted to write my Bible, but now I write my Bible all the time. And what Jamie has done the last 5 years has just brought this alive. And when I am by myself and I get a minute to be in this by myself, those words that came alive come alive again. And in different ways, like I'll read something and it mean completely a different thing than it did when I first wrote it down, which to me is amazing. That's when it's really, truly alive. So that's what it's done in my life. And I wanted to say really briefly that this You Belong Here rug, I'm so glad it's there because I wanted it to be there. If you don't feel like people say hi to you or seem friendly when you first get here, I'm a super outgoing person, so it doesn't bother me to go up to say hello to people. But if you don't feel like you get that from here, that still rings true. You belong here because ultimately Jesus is here and we all belong to Jesus, and Jesus makes us feel welcome.
So thank you, Pastor Jamie, for awkward, because we know he likes it and I don't. Like his wife doesn't either. I wrote mine out, and it's a whole page. It takes about 4 minutes, so I'm just going to throw this away, and I'm going to wing it. Most of you in this room know that my husband is an addict, and being married to an addict has a lot of hard days. I walked into Life Community Church 2 years ago, and I never turned and walked back out, because Jesus is here in all of you. I see so many faces in this room that has loved me and accepted me, and not just me, but my husband as well, my children. John recently told me that he felt like no one was there for him, and I responded with, everyone is there for you because they're there for me, and they're praying for me, and they're praying for you, and it's been a wonderful journey with you guys, and I don't think that I could have done it without you. Jesus is so good in my life, and Jamie is an amazing pastor, and I love everything about being here. Well, I wrote it out too, and if I read it, it's a minute and a half. When asked about my growth in Jesus, the word that kept coming to mind was accept. You know, like that line in the Serenity Prayer, accept the things you can't change. Well, I thank Jesus that with his spirit in me, I am less likely to try to solve or fix problems through my own efforts, and more likely to take to prayer and listen for God's will. I thank Jesus that with his spirit in me, I am less likely to fall prey to emotional stress and anxiety, and more likely to remain calm and be at peace, finding joy in living. LCC is my church, but more importantly, it is family. From its leadership team to every person within the body, the love, the kindness, the willingness to minister to the needs of others is a reflection of Christ's example in this world. LCC has played a part in my growth, particularly over the last few months. I've been asked to step out of my comfort zone and put my growth to the test. This has been a most fulfilling and rewarding experience. Thanks to Pastor Jamie's coaching abilities, he has guided and instructed me with love, humility, and patience. And did I say patience? And more patience. We are so blessed to have a pastor who hears God's voice with such clarity, who listens and obeys the Spirit's promptings and retells his message for us in such a way that encourages us and assures us that we can meet the challenges of this life and do so in a way that's pleasing to God. Thank you.
Hello. God has completely transformed my life over the past 4 years, and it's kind of interesting because 4 years ago I didn't realize that there was really anything wrong, but I kind of woke up one day just knowing there's got to be a change, and I didn't really have a relationship with Jesus, so I didn't pray or believe in the God and Jesus, but that morning I just thought to myself, and I realized God was telling me to just pick up your Bible, start reading it, so that's what I did, and just throughout the entire time of reading it, it just transformed little things like my marriage. Well, that's a big thing, but it completely transformed our marriage, I might want to say again. And then just the relationship with my children. I mean, the Bible just basically gave me an easy layout guide of how to be in life. Just laid it out, made it very simple, how to treat other people. So throughout that entire time of reading it, yes, I was just every day transforming my life, changing it. How to treat people, my relationship with my family, everything. So, give it all to God. So, LCC has been awesome too. I've got a family here and friends that I can always count on. Jamie's always speaking right to us every service we feel like. So, give it up to Jamie too. Thank you.
You'll have to excuse me, I'm a little shy. 5 years ago, before this church started, I was in a church for 6 years, and I made absolutely no connections except with the people I already knew. And because of partly because it was so far from home, the other part was my fault because I really didn't want to connect. And when I learned that the church was going to start here in Columbia, I was excited, and I determined at that time I was going to connect, and I think I have. And it's a great thing. I mean, I immediately got involved. And I love it. It's changed me. I've made so many new friends that I are very dear, and some not so dear. But I just want to encourage you guys, if you don't feel like you're connecting, it's your choice. It's not the church. It's your choice to connect. And if you want to know how LCC has changed not only our life, my life, my family, my wife's, I want to say, how has it changed everybody here? We started with how many people? 40, roughly? Look around you. Look at all the change. This guy here, his life was changed. Her life was changed. Her life was definitely changed. Look at the change that's in your life right now. And you'll realize just how God is using this body. The body is the church. The building's not the church. The pastor's not the church. He is just a willing vessel that I'm glad he's willing to listen to God and be obedient. Okay? Thank you.
When I first walked through the doors of LCC, I didn't know what I was missing. And by the time I left that night, I did. And for me, the way that God has changed me has been through, he's taught me so much about a sense of true community. I've always gone to church. I've always been a part of church. I don't think I ever really truly knew what church family is. Now I do. Now I feel completely accepted for who I am. I don't feel like I have to be someone that I'm not. But even more than that, I feel like a true integral part of this community. I serve not out of obligation, but out of a deep sense of responsibility. And I feel like my service here matters, and I matter. And I've never felt that before. I've had friends at church, and then I've had my regular friends. And here, I can honestly say that my regular friends are my church friends, and it's beyond that, it's family. And I've never experienced that before, and I didn't know what a deep need that I had for that until literally the day that I walked through the doors of Life Community. And God has been changing my heart and my life and the way that I live out my life and the way that I serve others ever since that day. So I'm so grateful to Life Community, and I'm grateful for every single one of you.
Before I talk about what I'm going to talk about, I know Jamie was up here talking about Kelly and Paul and Amy and Sean and Shelley and Jeff and Jody and how awesome they are, but we also need to give props to this guy because week after week, he challenges, I know not only me, but everyone else, because he does not make apologies for what he's speaking. He speaks truth, and I told him, before Life Community started, I said, people are going to be drawn to you because you speak truth, and people respond to truth. May not always feel good, I mean, but it is what it is. So I want to say publicly thank you for not apologizing, for not backing down when you know that it might hurt some people. Hurt us. That's when we grow. That's when we stretch. For me. Anyway, now my minute starts. So I kind of I want to echo kind of what some other people are saying. It's a feeling of belonging here. There are people that have walked into my life as a result of Life Community that are never going anywhere, even if they wanted to. You know, we've always been in church, but my husband is a person, he was supposed to talk, but he's working this weekend, so I'm going to talk about him. always went to church, I think, because he thought that that's what I wanted him to do. And in the last 5 years, what has happened in his life has affected my entire family. He just finished leading his first small group, which is huge. I mean, if you don't know Derek, he's not that person. Doesn't like to pray in front of people, doesn't like to talk in front of people. But the growth that we have experienced in our walk together, in our walk separate, in our marriage, in our family, it's priceless. You can't put, I just can't even put words to it. But again, there's so many people that I look around this room, and I mean, we've moved from friends to family. So I love it.
I've stood in this gym many times with a microphone talking to groups because we moved here in 2008 for me to become principal at Columbia High School. And one of the things that happened when we moved here was we left behind a church that we attended for 18 years. Lindsay was 3 years old when we moved to that area, to that church, and every one of our other kids were born in that church, were raised in that church, and when we moved here, one of the scariest things was trying to find a church home. And an even scarier thing was about 3.5 years after we moved here, I realized that I was not going to continue as principal at Columbia High School. And it was a situation, there were no secrets or skeletons or scandals. It was just one of those things where I knew that it was not going to work out for me to be there long term. So trying to figure out, and during those years, we really struggled because we had a church home, a church family, and I had said many times, we're never going to be able to find a situation like we had at Lincoln Avenue Church in Jacksonville, so we need to not compare that. But one of the absolute amazing things is we visited churches and attended for a while, and just, Lord, surely you have a home for us somewhere. Where is it? Reveal that to us. We want to be obedient. We want to attend. And when your two teenage kids say, this is where we want to go to church, Mom and Dad, you listen. And when people ask, friends from years ago and everything ask, hey, how are you doing? I just say, we are blessed beyond measure. I look around. Our kids are here in church. They want to be here in church. Our adult kids, their husbands. You know, what can I say? I'm blessed beyond measure.
I feel like by the time it gets down to me, I'm kind of beating a dead horse. But I think it really speaks volume to say that all of these people, and me included for sure, have been impacted by this community that these leaders have created here, and I can't thank them enough. I can't thank everybody here who I've been able to come to for anything. I know, you know, when I look at the past 5 years of my life, that was graduating high school and going to college, and so a lot happens in that time, and I think that, you know, God has done a number of things in my life, and I've done a number of things in my life in that time, and to be coming out on this side and being here with everybody who's been so supportive and loving, and I know that I can go to so many people with anything that I have. I can't thank everybody enough for all of that, and I just really appreciate that community that has been established here in my hometown and in my community. So.
So when they said, like, in the last 5 years, it was, like, kind of funny to me just because I've only been here since November. But it's, like, true because, when I started connecting with Jesus, it all started when I started coming to life. And I'm just so thankful. Sorry. I'm just so thankful that God put me here. And, like, this is what I've been needing my entire life. Because, I mean, I have, you know, my family, and we're so close, I love them, but just having people outside who you can like connect with and who accept you and love you and make you feel like you have a purpose. I just think that's so important. And I've discovered my lifelong friends here, and I just love you guys so much. Even if we haven't met, I love you so much. And just like, I found my personal relationship with Jesus here. And so just having hope in hopeless situations, and knowing I don't have to fear in scary situations, and just knowing how much He loves me has completely transformed my life. And I'm just so thankful. So I love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I guess this is the last one. So I'd like to say that the church has helped me very much in my walk with the Lord. And I'd like to say that unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. And that's something that I looked at as soon as we started the church when it was very small, the first time I went. And I can see God building the house. You can see it. It's not man done. It's God. And Pastor Jamie's messages have helped me very much. Sometimes I get weary in well-doing. And the church, the men's groups, the Bible studies, the small groups have helped hold my hands up like Moses needed his hands held up to win the battle. And the others, sometimes we have storms in our lives, and this is a good boat to be in. It's really helped me through the storms.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, and he usually speaks 35 to 40 minutes. Does this mean? Good thing for you, we rented this place. We have a timeline when we have to be out, so you're welcome. So, I could get one shout while we're singing, or all these great testimonies, but I say I'm quitting early, and people are shouting me down. Just void out everything that everybody just said. Just kidding. Let me pray. We're just going to read scripture, and then Paul's going to come back up. Jesus, thank you for what you've done. God, again, as Jim just said, this is what you've done. You look to Peter, probably one of your most challenging disciples, and you said, because of your passion, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. God, I thank you that we have a church that are kicking down the doors of hell itself to tell people about the gospel, to radically change the community that we live in. God, thank you for what you're doing on this earth. We choose to be thankful instead of complaining. We choose to see the good that is being done on the earth and not all the news reports. We choose you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one scripture, amen. Acts chapter 6. In a second, you're going to have this this card that was on your seat. I'm going to talk to you about this as we conclude. But Acts chapter 6, not a similar situation, but kind of. The church was growing. People were coming to know Christ, and it says this, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there was rumbling of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers, and they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected, full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. And everyone liked the idea. Listen, as we grow, as we continue to grow, because here's the reality. Healthy things grow. There's going to be moments where you say to your spouse or you say to a friend in a small group that I miss the old days. I miss the small church down the street. I miss this or I miss that. And this is what's happening. The church is growing like crazy. And it said, yet in the middle of their growth, people were complaining. What were they complaining about? They were complaining that people were missing being cared for. It says that people were falling through the cracks. And so they looked at the apostles and they said, what are you guys going to do about this? How are we going to fix this problem? And he says, here's what we have to do. Listen, we have to be people that adjust when growth happens. But if we're going to be people that complain when growth happens, we'll be like this a year from now. 10 years from now. God's plan is that the church grows. This was part of God's plan. And in the middle of that, you have an opportunity. Do I speak life into what he's doing? Or do I complain and want to go back? Guys, we have to hear this. Because there's moments where back seems tempting. There's moments where it's like, I miss the good old days. There's moments where I like to walk into a room and there's only 40 and I know everybody. Get in a small group then. I hope it's never the same. I hope a year from now we're having to rent out the falls again. And there's more and more people. If you do not like this, I'm going to be as kind as I can. You can always find a dead church. I don't say that as a slam. I say that as it's filled with people who want the good old days. You'll always be able to find that. That is not what we have here. Here, healthy things grow. But he says, listen, I don't want you to grow just by putting warm bodies in serving opportunities. There was a moment when we first started and everybody wore 1,000 hats. Come on, somebody. She's greeting. Whoa, she just went downstairs and she's doing kids. Whoa, she just came up and took the offering. Whoa, she's greeting people as they walk out. One person just filled, right? Come on, some of you were that person. We're not there right now. If we're not a church of delegation, we're going to go backwards. Some of you have said, I want to be able to have access to the pastor like I did in the beginning. It's different now. We have to say that with our staff. It is different. I wish every single meal and every single day, we can sit down and I can sit down with every single one of you. When there was 50, that was easy. And it was good too. No offense, baby. Right? That was easy. We can't. It's impossible. I can't personally pastor 300 to 400 people. Delegation. But he says again, don't just find somebody. Similar to right here. You don't find just somebody. Ah, that guy's willing to serve, but he's never played a lick of guitar. We're not putting him there. Somebody? Come on. Business side, your business is growing. What do you do? Can you do what you did in the beginning of your business? Absolutely not. You cannot unless you want that business to stay where it is. It's no different with the church. Did he just say the church is business? Don't look into things. Don't do that. Don't do that. Operating the same, he says, listen, here's what you have to do. You have to find men with good reputation. Here's the challenge to us as people. Am I a person with a good reputation? Here's the challenge to me as a disciple moving forward. Am I a person that values a good reputation? Proverbs 22:1 says it this way. A good reputation is better to be seen than all the riches in the world. A good reputation is something more to strive for than all the amount of money. Why? Because a good reputation is where the Lord puts value. He says, find yourself people that are well respected. If we're going to be the church moving forward, then we have to be people that have good reputations in the community, in our families. Your kids can't hate you. Constantly, over and over in 1 Timothy, over and over. Listen, we have to be people that are well respected, have good reputations. He said, seek these men. What's the solution to the growing problem? Find people who are willing to serve. And you know who those people usually are? The people who are already serving. But yet, they've never had a title. Am I a person that wants a good reputation? And then he says, and find people who are full of the Spirit. Listen, that's on us. A church can't fix that for you.
You being full of the Holy Spirit doesn't happen just on Sundays. Sunday is a celebration of what God has done the other 6 days of the week. If you're not worshiping right here, it's because you haven't worshiped on Tuesday. You opening your Bible to Acts chapter 6 on a Sunday is not devotion time. It's not it. Full of the Spirit is a daily thing. He said, find people that are well respected with a good reputation and they're full of the Holy Spirit. How do I know if I'm full of the Holy Spirit? When you have the opportunity to speak life, do you speak life or do you speak death? When you have the opportunity to show patience, do you show patience or do you fly off the handle? That's how I know if I'm full of the Spirit. This is Galatians 5. If you're controlled by the Spirit, you do this. If you're controlled by the flesh, you do this. So simple. Steve or somebody said that. Reading the Bible is so simple. It's giving us an instruction of Acts chapter 6. Here's the evaluation. This is the evaluation. Am I a person that has a good reputation? When people think of me, what do they say? What do they say about you? When people think of you, do they think of you as being full of the Holy Spirit? And then the last one was wisdom. Wisdom. It says they're full of the Holy Spirit and they're full of wisdom. You know how I get wisdom? Wisdom comes from God. Those who fear God show wisdom. If I learned anything, and I'm not there, none of us have arrived, we're still learning, we're still being teachable, we have to be. Fearing God is the biggest thing that we've lost in our relationship with Him. There's no fear. There's no holiness. There's no God, I'm in all of you. He says, that's how you get wisdom. How do I get wisdom? I ask for wisdom. I become who I'm around. I'm reflecting who I'm around. If I'm not full of the Spirit, it's because who I'm choosing to be around isn't full of the Spirit. It's because I'm not willing to dig deep in moments where I'm studying His Word and I'm praying. If I'm not full of Spirit, if I'm not full of wisdom, it's because I've not asked the Lord. He said, these are the men that you seek out. We're no longer in the days of like, hey, you come here. Come on. I didn't even ask if you have Jesus. I just want you serving. Strong lady right there. She's pulling me hard. Shoulder just came out of socket. This is not the days of that. It's the days of if we want to be the church that God's called us to be, then we have to be different at 5 than we were at 1. We have to be different at 6 as we go in. We have to do some things that are going to be a little different. And the church is rapidly growing. But look at verse 7 of Acts 6. What does it say? When they adapted, it says, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Wait a second. You're saying that the people, when it was growing and they were complaining, that out of the complaint they continue to grow? Yes, because they adapted. Yes, because someone didn't sweep it under the rug. Someone dealt with the problem. Someone looked at the person complaining and said, stop that. Stop that. You're holding us back and you're keeping us from growing. When was the last time someone looked at us and said, stop it. You're keeping us from growing. Either jump on board and become a person that is full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, or get out of the way. We don't have time for this. There's people dying and going to a real hell. I don't have time for complaining. This is what Peter was saying. I don't got time for everybody that's complaining. You either adapt and let's go, or you're not coming with us. Well, that offends me, Pastor. Cry me a river. You can make an appointment with some other pastor, but I'm going to look straight at you and go, what's your point? Stop complaining. Jump on board. Or get out of the way. This is why. Why? Who they get a large number of? People went into ministry when the church started growing. They became obedient to the faith when the church was growing. The problem is we have people seeking a position and not seeking Jesus. And when I seek Jesus, then the position will come into play. Amen. That's full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Meaning, I'm serving whether you give me a position or not. I'm just here to serve. One thing that I heard from this group that was up here is I heard ownership. You know the difference? It's someone that owns it or it's somebody else's. And the Bible talks about that. Are you the hireling or are you the owner? The hireling says, I don't care, I'll get another job. An owner says, not in my land. That's my investment. That's my inheritance. That's why when the Bible says in 2 Samuel that in the middle of the field of beans, that the enemy came and it says that he stood his ground and said, no, not in my field. You and I look at that and we go, it's a bean field. Let them have it. It's beans. But he says, this bean field is my inheritance. This church is my place that I worship, and it's time that we have owners and not hirelings. An owner will walk by and pick up the trash, even though it's not your responsibility. An owner's going to go, I see a need and I'm filling it. An owner saying, I'm seeking God, I'm seeking the Lord because I want to be a person that's full of the Spirit. And then when time comes, I want to be in the right reputation and the right wisdom. I want to be that guy. That's what a person does. They don't say, hey, I need you. And then you say, okay, I guess I got to get full of the Spirit. Don't wait to be asked. Start now. Start right now. Take your card for a second. There's five things on it. I want you to answer honestly. I want you, right now, I don't even know what time we have. Paul, you can start playing. Five things. It can be now, it can be on your way home, it can be later this afternoon. Some of you are going to be sleeping later. Who was that prom last night? Yeah. A lot of Columbia's prom, and we did the after prom last night, so a lot of people in this room that went and did inflatables and got home at 5:15 and was back up at 7, and so I don't even know what I'm saying right now. Hopefully we're recording. Five things that I want you to write down. Five priorities in your life. Five priorities. And here's how I know what my priority is. Where I spend my time, where I spend my money, where I spend my talent. Five priorities. Don't get Christian on me. Well, Jesus, of course, is my top priority. Well, your money doesn't reflect that. And neither is your time. Neither is the gift that he's asked you to stir up within you. It doesn't reflect that. Be honest. Be honest where your priority is. Because there's a lot of us in this room, your kids are your priority right now. You don't do anything else because it's about your kids. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't make your marriage about your marriage, your kids are going to leave home one day. You're going to look at your spouse and go, who are you? That's why you find people at 25, 30 years of marriage walking away from their marriage because they don't know their spouse, because they stayed together just to raise the kids. It's because you made kids number two when your spouse was supposed to be number two. Jesus is supposed to be number one, and when Jesus is not number one and he's just a spoke and not the center, just like this wheel, when I make Jesus a spoke and not the center, my life is out of whack. And a wheel that has a flat tire or a spoke that's missing or a spoke that's out of whack gets replaced. When Jesus is not here and Jesus is here, things are crazy. Your life is crazy. And you're saying, I got a marriage problem, I got a kid problem. No, you got a Jesus problem. That's the problem. Jesus is in the middle. He's not your bearings, and now all of a sudden your bearings are going out, and you're spoke, and he's a spoke. That's the problem. That's the problem. You put them down in the right order. This is not for you to share. I'm not going to ask you to come up and say, what's your priorities, and let us judge you. It's for you to look and go, God, really, where am I? Where am I, honestly? Because right now my life is chaos, and all it comes down to is your spouse has always been crazy. You're just now seeing it. Come on. You're seeing it from a spoke position and not a Jesus position. When I see my wife and my kids and my friends and the people in my life from a Jesus perspective, now I'm actually nice when I'm driving my car. Now I'm actually nice when the waitress is mean to me. Why? Because Jesus is the center. Jesus is top priority. You say, well, how do I know if Jesus is top priority in my life? I don't know. How's your life right now? Well, it's out of whack. It's a Jesus issue. has nothing to do with your spouse, has nothing to do with your kids. Your kids are going to be crazy until 18. Let's be real. 20, 25, 50. Go ahead and keep going, right? They're always going to be crazy, but under your house, they're going to be crazier. Right? Be honest with yourself. As a disciple of Jesus, where am I? And be honest in the fact that you go, you know what? On this list, Jesus is number 5. Or maybe you're saying, man, Jesus didn't even make top 5. Be real with yourself so that we can get results. If you're not going to be real, we can't get results. And it might be a moment where you're just, life is crazy right now and you're putting all your priorities in this spot. Jesus just saying, it's time for you to get the wheel spinning right again. Make the adjustment. Listen, if Acts chapter 6 doesn't happen, that could easily read, and the church stopped growing because the people were unwilling to make an adjustment. Because they complained, they wanted to go back to their old life, they wanted to go back to how it used to be, and they never grew another day. Listen, I don't want to be a part of that. We either adjust and move on, or we're staying where we are. This is evaluation for us. Am I going to adjust to where my priorities really are? Amen?
Amen.
Jesus, today, God, I thank you that we've grown. Thank you that every year people come to Life Community Church, but God, that's not what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that you've transformed lives. God, we might be in an Acts 6 position where we need to delegate and we need to adjust. But God, personally, maybe we're in an Acts 6 spot because we're not spiritually growing individually. And it's all because we got to adjust. And we've been so busy complaining about what's happening in life that we've not realized our priorities are out of whack. Jesus, would you help us today to refocus, to re-energize, to put things in the right perspective? Jesus, would you help us today to see the error of our ways, not because you're an angry father, but because you're a loving father who adjusts maybe an attitude, maybe a priority? Jesus, we give you permission to mess with us today. Mess with our priorities. Help us to be honest. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me today?